Today on the stream, a story that we have seen played out many times around the globe, that is indigenous people fighting for their own ancestral lands. Earlier on today, the Maasai people of Tanzania gathered to protest an effort to evict them from their own land. Have a look. The Maasai are semi-nomadic, but one protester said recently, "We are being treated like refugees without a home." So on this episode, we're going to try and unpack what it is that is making the Maasai have to move from their ancestral homes to an area that they do not want to live in. To help us understand this dilemma, we have Joseph and Edward and Eric. Hello, Joseph. Good to have you here on the show. Nice to see you. Please introduce yourself to our international audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Okay, I'm Joseph Mozole Shangai. He's a lawyer based in Tanzania, a human rights lawyer, so to say, working with the leading organization for human rights.
Okay.
And also for this particular case, I'm also actually a resident in Ngorongoro, the place we're referring to.
Very important detail to add. Hello, Eric. Good to see you. Please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Very good to see you. My name is Eric Kabendera. I'm a Tanzanian journalist. I'm based in London, but I've worked in Tanzania over half of my career, and I've traveled to the Ngorongoro area a couple of times to investigate stories there.
Very good. And Edward Porokwa is going to join us in a moment as well. Edward is just getting situated as far as his audio is concerned. He will be with us momentarily. As for you, if you're watching on YouTube, be part of our discussion. Comment section is right here. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts, your comments, your opinions. Let's start, first of all, with the Ngorongoro district. Where is it in Tanzania? I'm just going to go in quite close. In 1959, there were two conservation areas made for the Maasai. One was the Serengeti, one was Ngorongoro. We're looking at it right now. Eric, you have been reporting on the fortunes of the Maasai for many, many years. What is happening to them now that is giving them concern and making them actually go out and protest against what the government want to do? What is it that the government is planning?
Well, the main issue here is that the Maasai people are protesting against the government's new move to evict them from their indigenous land. And the government's excuse is that the Ngorongoro area is overpopulated, close to 800,000 Maasai people, and that their presence is threatening the well-being of the area itself, the species in the area, the wildlife, and that actually they need to go elsewhere. You know, I think that's the main issue that the Maasai people are protesting against. But this is not a new conflict. Remember, the dispute has been ongoing since 1992, and the government has commissioned several investigations. Parliamentary committees have been formed couple of times to investigate the matter and provide solutions, but none of the committees that have been formed in the past have been able to come up with a tangible solution, and none of the solutions that have been presented by different stakeholders have been worked on by the government.
Joseph, I want to show our audience, if they've never been to the Ngorongoro Conservation Area, what it looks like, what the wildlife looks like, what the scenery looks like. And then as we're looking at that video, is there really a problem with how densely packed the Maasai are in this conservation area? Is there a basis to the government saying, actually, we can't have this many people living in this conservation area? Surely it was made for them.
Okay, thank you very much. Briefly, for anyone who has never visited Ngorongoro, actually is one of the still very beautiful places in the world. Is the same almost like Serengeti and others, which is not inhabited by anyone. And the wildlife, so particularly, there is a very huge number of wildlife, the big five, we're referring to the rhinoceros, the elephant, the lion, and others. Many of them, actually more than any other place in Tanzania, and this has, is so much attributed to the work of the Maasai, both in the Serengeti then and now in Ngorongoro. Now the government is complaining, and it is not now. I want to put this into perspectives. Actually, since 1980s, the government has been complaining that the number of people and the livestock has reached an irreversible damage to the ecosystem and the wildlife threats. But the fact on the ground do show the reverse of it. Of course, the government statistic now, which is saying almost 94,000 people, is just like a population density of 10 person per kilometer square, compared to a national profile of 64 people, which show is one of the least populated areas in the country.
Right.
So those threats, those allegations by the government is not backed on any data, in my opinion.
Let me pull up a second map, because this is the movement of people that the government is proposing. So I'm just going to show you where the Maasai are currently, 70,000 Maasai are. So let's have a look at that map, first of all. And then the proposal is that they move. So then let's show that movement. Right. So you're moving 70,000 people to move into a space that has 80,000 people. Won't that just be overpopulated, Eric? I'm not sure that I understand the way the government is thinking. And I should also say at this point that we did reach out and we didn't get any official response, which is a shame, because it would be really nice to understand exactly how they're thinking about this. Moving 70,000 people to where 80,000 people are living. Isn't that too dense, Eric?
Well, it basically is, but I think if I take you back to a little bit of a background, remember 1959, as you rightly said, when the colonial government actually moved the Maasai people from the Serengeti National Park to the Ngorongoro Conservation Area, the same concerns were raised that if you move these people, the area is going to be overpopulated. You know, there were concerns, you know, a couple of evidence have shown that there were concerns of overpopulation. But I think over the years after the Ngorongoro Conservation Authority was established, you know, these continued to be concerns. And I think for the indigenous people, you know, of course, over the years, the population is growing. You know, people are having children, like many other places in the country. But as of yesterday, what the ministry was saying after the prime minister had left the official visit of the place was that the new areas that have been created where these Maasai communities are going to be moved, I think are slightly far away from the conservation area, because the concern is in the conservation area where they say there is overpopulation. So they want to relocate them from that area where they feel that the population increase, both for humans and animals, cattle, is basically creating a threat to the area.
So, gentlemen, I have to add that another reason that the government want the land is for elite tourism and hunting. And up until 2017, I believe there was a very lucrative contract with a company in the UAE to come and hunt in the Ngorongoro area. So there is a lot of money at stake, which is why one of the reasons that the government want to move the Maasai is because of the potentially lucrative contract. Joseph, you sent us some pictures from the protest today. Have a look here on my laptop. The Maasai are very clear about what they want. Our land is our life. We'd rather die than be evicted again from our motherland. The government should give equal weight for the three founding legal objectives of Ngorongoro Conservation Area. We have nowhere to go. We have lost the Serengeti. We will never again lose Ngorongoro for trophy hunting and elite tourism. Joseph, how are negotiations going? Can the Maasai negotiate about land that actually belongs to them? Or can the government just move them anyway?
Okay, before starting to that question, let me put some sort of things into perspectives. Mm-hmm. Actually, the proposal by the government is a total resettlement within out of the Ngorongoro Conservation Area, which is a population of almost 194,000 people. And again, they are also forcing out another 70,000 people in the Loliondo. So they are not taking them to Ngorongoro. They are taking them some 600 kilometers away from the Ngorongoro Conservation Area. Then now coming back to your questions. The issue here is very straight, very clear. It is not conservation. It is not wildlife protections. And this is the reasons. 2017, the government commissioned a team to study about the multiple land use process within the Ngorongoro Conservation Area. And one of the recommendations by the committee, which of course was not inclusive in any way and not representing the Maasai interest, recommended once the Maasai are relocated out of the Ngorongoro Conservation Area, then the land will be changed, the status, to a game control area to allow trophy huntings. And now there is a land, formerly Loliondo Game Control Area with 4,000 square kilometers. Okay. Now the government want to annex 1,500 square kilometer for the Dubai ruler who has been hunting there since 1992.
So Joseph, and actually he Joseph, stop there must be so much money involved in this for you to move your own people, to evict your own people, knowing that their own heritage. That how much money are we talking? Eric, help me out here. Let me share with Eric, Joseph, so that we can share the conversation.
I did a story about 6 years ago, and we're talking about millions of dollars and a lot of political and business interests, you know, by their local partners, by the local business elite. So it's basically a lot of money, significant amount of money that actually could...
Is it 6 million? Is that significant? 6 million? For the lives of 70,000 Maasai and their livelihoods. Let me just bring in here, Eric and Joseph, Sarah Morrison. There is a huge campaign that has actually gone global to support the Maasai in staying exactly where they are. Remember, they've already been moved more than once. Here's Sarah. She spoke to us a little bit earlier.
More than 3 million people all across the world are standing with the Maasai of Ngorongoro District and calling on Tanzania's president, Samia Suluhu Hassan, to oppose any attempt to evict them from their ancestral lands or require them to relocate for foreign hunters. We know international solidarity and global support can help and can have impact. Back in 2013, when our global community first stood with the Maasai of northern Tanzania, we launched our global campaign. Shortly afterwards, the president at the time promised publicly that the Tanzanian government would never evict the Maasai from their ancestral lands. And so millions of people are calling on President Hassan to be a champion for her people and to oppose any attempt to change their land rights against their will.
So, Eric, if we're talking about how do we resolve this situation, is the president the way to go? How are negotiations going?
Well, it's time for the president to show some leadership, because she gave a very generic idea to say that would like the Maasai people to be treated like human beings. But I think that is not enough for her to say she wants the Maasai people to be treated right. But because if you look in the political elite going back, you know, the last 60 years, there's been a notion within among the politicians that the Maasai people, you know, do not have rights. You know, the Maasai people are backward people that can be who can be moved anytime to anywhere. And I think one of the solutions is that the mentality of the political elite need to change, to understand that the Maasai people have equal rights, like the rest of us. That's, I think, very, very important. But I think there needs to be, they have to avoid the top-down approach to resolving this problem. Okay. Each solution that government needs to come up with, the Maasai people have to be part of it and consent to it.
Have there been any solutions so far?
The solutions have been quite vague, and in most cases, the Maasai people have not been part of the solution. It's for the government basically to sit in parliament and in closed door and coming up with the solutions and taking it to the Maasai. And this has been the reason why this dispute is not coming to an end.
I saw, Joseph, I was watching a previous protest, and one of the protesters says, we're not against development, but we want to develop with you so that if you're getting all this money that's coming into our ancestral lands, we want to be able to share in that so that we can develop as a people too. So that's one idea. So it's not the Maasai saying we're standing in the way of development. On YouTube, I've got some interesting comments as well. Can you just respond to them quite quickly? What about UNESCO's role? Has UNESCO placed an opinion in this? Their role, their actions or their inactions when it comes to the Ngorongoro conservation area. How do they stand on the moving of 70,000 Maasai, Joseph? Or where do they stand?
Exactly. Many of the problems we are talking here, we are discussing here, are so much attributable to the recommendation by the UNESCO. And of course, it is the interest of the government now taking some facts to the UNESCO and the UNESCO recommending. So since, for example, 2009, systematically, the UNESCO has been recommending for a resettlement. Of course, they say a voluntary one. Mm-hmm. But what is actually voluntary? UNESCO has never recommended, for example, because of the policies by the NCA, by the Tanzanian government, in the last 40 years, has made Maasai of the Ngorongoro the most poorest community, actually, in Tanzania, compared to other Maasai outside of the area. But UNESCO, as a UN entity, which it is constitutional, by the way, created it as to protect human rights, has never recommended for protection of the Maasai right as a community, for serious consultations, and the government has not been consulting them throughout the process.
Let me just bring in Yannick. Yannick works at Traditional Ecosystem Survival Tanzania. To your point, Joseph, trying to build wealth for indigenous people whose income should be much higher. He spoke to us a little bit earlier, and again, this issue about how do you solve this problem? This is what Yannick told us earlier.
The company belonging to the royal family of Dubai has been given land, and completely contrary to the wishes or to the interests of the local communities, and the government and the company do not want to speak to the people about that, the use or the presence of that company in the villages. And it is wrong because the villages are titled, they have a title deed to the land, and they've been occupying the land before independence to the present day.
I am just looking at a tweet here on my laptop that came in, Eric, around the conversation we're having today. Paul says, totally wrong of the government in Tanzania and the UAE-based company to evict the Maasai people. I'm going to correct that because it's not going to be the UAE-based company. Only the government of Tanzania can be involved in this. They may be swayed by the money. Back to the text. Rather work with them so everybody benefits from big game hunting in the area. That will have a major impact on the local population. There could be so much wealth here, Eric. Why does it have to be either or?
Indeed. In the 90s, a journalist in Tanzania was investigating the wealth involved in the deal involving the royal family, died in mysterious circumstances, and all the evidence suggested that it was because of he was investigating the story and he stumbled onto things that the public was not supposed to know. So in my own analysis, and I've basically acquired evidence to this informally. If you look in the informal channel, that or the loyal hunting company, that the loyal family has given over $5 million in the past 20 years to informal networks, actually, to keep their presence there. And I think that's where the problem actually is starting from. And efforts to have the contract terminated have consistently failed, which basically shows that they are investing in massive resources to keep the contract going. But I think the sad part is that when I visited about 7 years ago, local people were basically complaining that when the loyal family visits, they are basically removed even from the small patches of land where they have been pushed to allow the loyal family to do their hunting activities and basically enjoy themselves, which I think, you know, needs to the public and the international community needs to come together and help the government as well as the indigenous people, you know, retain their rights.
Okay. Eric, I hear and I'm seeing a lot of those comments on our YouTube chat right now about the power of outsiders coming into Tanzania to hunt and the wealth that they have. I'm going to bring in one more voice, and this is Samuel Nangira. He is a Maasai organizer. It's appropriate that we have a Maasai talk to us about this issue. This is what he told us earlier.
What is happening in Ngorongoro and Loliondo today is not new. It's been a continuation of colonial processes of evicting us, taking our land for business, for money, for tourism. We have taken care of all these lands for so long, and we are still taking care of it because we know by taking care, it means it provides everything we need. And land to us is not something that can stand alone. Land is a source of knowledge, a source of life, a source of identity.
Talking about Maasai taking care of the land, but who's going to take care of the Maasai? Joseph, do you feel that you will win this latest eviction bid by the Tanzanian government?
I think we will win because, as I said earlier, the government has no fact in these things. And it is not backed by fact, for example, of whether this is a conservation or not. I said it is not. It is not a conservation. It is a big money, actually, as Samuel has said. And to the Maasai, actually, relocating them is not only like denying them right to property and others. It's threatening their life. To them, is and actually to us, land is life, is no more, no less. And the government, of course, under Tanzanian law, the Maasai rights are protected and in twofold. One, in Ngorongoro Conservation Area, the law did not extinguish the customary right of the Maasai prior to independence. And again, in Loliondo, actually, as we are speaking now, Loliondo is not a game control area. That the former Loliondo game control area died almost 2009 when the current Wildlife Conservation Act came into operations. And that's why the government has been working so hard for the last 11 years to annex 1,500 square kilometers, but it has not been gazetted to date. And the former Prime Minister, okay, Pinda, has said this very precise. Mm-hmm. This is the village land under the Maasai customary rights.
All right.
Is not a conservation area.
Joseph, you're speaking like the human rights lawyer that you are. I appreciate you. Eric, thank you so much for sharing some of your reporting for the many, many years you've been reporting on the fortunes of the Maasai. Edward Porokwa was supposed to be part of this programme. Unfortunately, technology won stream zero regarding Edward. Edward, I know we will return to this subject and we will return to this subject with you. Thank you for your comments and your questions on YouTube. I will wrap up now and see you next time. Take care, everybody.